He is an author. From the Company of Shadows is the book, an expose on CIA operations and the abuse of secrecy. He is a former CIA officer, intelligence and counterterrorism expert, held several high-level positions in CIA. His assignments included protective agent for the director of the CIA, counterintelligence espionage investigator, overseas counterterrorism operations officer, internal security investigator, assistant team leader for an anti-terrorism tactical assault team, and polygraph examiner. He was the program manager for the Department of State, diplomatic security, anti-terrorism assistance, global police training program, recipient of 2 CIA meritorious unit citations, 3 exceptional performance awards, and a medallion for high-risk overseas operations. He has come out to expose what he calls the shadow government, the massive system of secrecy and money that controls the U.S. government, something we've long suspected. He has received standing ovations for his presentation, Constitutional Crisis in America. He is Mr. Kevin Shipp. First time on Caravan to Midnight. Welcome, sir.
Welcome to you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for agreeing to come on. Say, by the way, I was tempted before we got together here to say, Mr. Shipp, why would you come on this program? And then, of course, I've read everything else about you, and I thought, oh, okay, I get it. A quick clarification on something that may seem somewhat insignificant, but is CIA agent and officer, are those interchangeable terms? I always thought it was a field agent, but...
Yeah, that's a great question. People get mixed up quite a bit. If you're a CIA agent, typically you've been recruited to spy in a foreign government or some other capacity. When you get into the ranks of collecting intelligence, out in the field, you're described properly as an officer. You're kind of the civilian counterpart to a military officer, but within the CIA. So the proper term is officer. But, you know, people refer to that as agent all the time.
So you went to CIA when?
I started with the CIA, let's see, in 1985.
Were you recruited or did you volunteer?
Well, I volunteered. A buddy of mine suggested I put in an application, and... Based on my somewhat wild and crazy college past, I didn't think I'd make it in. So he kind of convinced me to do it, which I did, and over about a year process of some interviews and other things, I eventually got in and then eventually went into operations.
I see. And so how long were you active with the agency?
Let's see. I was active with the agency 22 years. Then I went out with Department of State Anti-Terrorism for about another, let's see, so roughly about 25 years total with the government.
And you're somewhat of an activist. I don't think whistleblower is exactly it. Maybe just how do you view yourself with, you know, everybody's got a label, right? But Ray McGovern is a whistleblower. So what is Kevin Shipp?
Well, I call myself a recovering CIA officer. I go to weekly meetings, CIA Anonymous. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I wish they'd come up with a better term than whistleblower, but I consider myself more than anything a constitutionalist. And the reason I came out speaking about these sorts of things was because of my devotion for the Constitution. I swore an oath to that. And indeed, many times, we risked our lives on one-way assignments for that. So I'm a constitutionalist. And that's what motivates me to come out and talk about these things, because we're under a post-constitutional government now, and my mission in the time I have left on this earth is to alert people that that is going on. There is a shadow government behind our government, and I think most people have a gut feeling that's true. But anyway, that's what I describe myself as.
You know, a lot of people feel that the and I'm one of them, and you know, I never stand between somebody and a good idea, and I'm really sort of a, you know, to hell with a good story. What is the truth? A lot of times the truth is a little bit more boring than you would like it to be, not quite so much panache, but the truth is the truth, and that's what we need. But a lot of people feel, and I say again, I'm one of them, that the government was hijacked. I think we suffered a coup on November 22nd, 1963, because after that, it's just been continuous warfare and just a continuous eroding of our constitutional rights to the point now, you know, it's like... just like that Piers Morgan character said, oh, because of your little book, you know, that thinks of the Constitution as our little book. Yeah. Wish I'd been part of that interview, but anyway, I'd have handed him his backside. Yeah. Done it before. But so how bad is it? When did you let's keep along the timeline. When did you discover, if you went in 85, when did you decide, say, there's something going on here that's probably not good?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. Obviously, I was a decorated officer. I loved my job, and I loved what I was doing. Unfortunately, the higher I got up in the agency, the more illegal activity I saw, some of which was being concealed from Congress. And, of course, we have a constitutional problem there. But in short, I was doing an international investigation on the cover of our agents in just about every country in on the globe. And I found, alarmingly, there was a vulnerability within the CIA system to go in to open source computers and identify the agents of our covert personnel in the field, which opened them up, obviously, to assassination. At first, I was kind of shocked by that. I redocumented, reinvestigated, restudied, and it just popped up over and over. So I wrote about a 20-25 page report with all my findings, and contacted the senior CIA officer in charge of that particular program, advised him what I had, told him that I'd send him my findings just to see what he thought. I think it was the next day on the internal phone system, I get a threatening phone call from a senior official telling me to drop my investigation and threatening my career. Hung up the phone, and I was a little bit shocked, and I wound up, from then on it was like, oh, I don't think they'll do this, and sure enough, they did. Anyway, so I called this office back, and I said, listen, you need to understand, this is potentially threatening to the lives of our agents. Let me send you the report, and you can at least take a look at it. Well, fine, click. So I sent the report through internal channels, all of which is tracked, went directly to that office, gave him about a week to look it over, called him up, hey, did you see the report? What did you think? The response was, what report? I said, you know, the one I sent you through internal channels. We never got it. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to hand carry this over to headquarters, and I'm going to give it to you across your desk. So I drove to headquarters, got in there, went up to the office, went to the desk, handed across the desk with a buck slip, a routing slip on it, and said, here it is, you know, just asking what you think. It looks potentially serious. Gave him another week, called him back. The response was, what report? And I said, now, come on, you got to be kidding here. I handed this to you personally. Oh, we must have lost it, they said. I said, Okay, I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do about this. So I hung up the phone, went into the internal major server, and it had been erased from the server. Anyway, to make a long story short, I took the report. I realized that there was a cover-up of massive proportions. That's one thing. The other thing is, why would they want to conceal a vulnerability where our agents could be identified and possibly assassinated? That hangs out there to this day. I think it ties to the shadow government. That was kind of the opening of my eyes. Anyway, to make a long story short, I took the report to a senior government official outside. They did a major investigation. They found that the vulnerability was worse than even I thought. The CIA was publicly rebuked in a big meeting. A report was issued to the intelligence community rebuking the agency publicly. I was given an award, but that didn't negate the fact that basically I had a laser dot on my chest. Yeah. Anyway, I was put on a controversial base. The house was poisoned. We all got sick. The house was broken into, and on it went. And eventually, I came out and wrote the book From the Company of Shadows and decided that I was going to fight this system because it is well outside the Constitution.
Kevin, if it's okay to address you by your first name, I hope it is.
Sure, please.
Why would they want to ignore or otherwise conceal a vulnerability? How did that help them?
That's the question everybody asks, including I had some attorneys working with me. No one could figure that one out. To this day, it's mysterious. Unless you wanted a system, and this is just conjecture, unless you wanted a system there with if an agent was not doing what you wanted him to do, him or her to do, there's a way to go in and just identify and have them removed and make it look like someone else did it.
Sure.
I really don't know what else it could be. It could be extreme incompetence. I've seen that in the agency before, but there have been since so many things that have happened that are related to that it was a lot more than that. And I just, anything that I would say would be conjecture. It's just, it's bizarre.
It does seem to be a little bit more than just a simple case of CYA.
Yeah, I think so. And the events that the targeting that they did of me later on was pretty obvious that they did not want that being corrected.
Who do we think are the architects of this shadow government, and how far back do you think it exists?
Well, I tell you, it goes back at least to 1921 with the forming of the Council on Foreign Relations, and really it was the CFR that created the CIA. Alan Dulles was one of the chief directors and board members and one of the first civilian CIA directors, and as we all know, he was an extremely dark and nefarious figure. Excuse me. He was responsible for MK Ultra, Operation Mockingbird, and all these other heinous programs. So the CFR was connected into Wall Street. Dulles and his brother were connected to Wall Street. So the CIA was connected directly to Wall Street banking from its very beginning, and the CFR. The CFR has had, at least 16 CIA directors that have come out of there, cabinet-level members of the government, presidents, and on. So it goes back to the Council on Foreign Relations, which resulted in the creation of the Federal Reserve. We've got this massive system, kind of a global now financial system, much of which is under the current, that is locked in and connected with this huge system of secrecy that functions outside of Congress and the Senate. It's tied directly into the military-industrial complex with multi-billion-dollar secret programs. Of course, Eisenhower called that the military-industrial complex. It's funny that what Eisenhower's original term was the congressional military-industrial complex. So he had Congress tied right in there, but he was convinced to take that out before his speech. So this congressional military-industrial complex is bound and operated by this massive system of secrecy from the CFR down to the CIA, now the NSA. The money and power flows from these secret agencies to the multitude of gigantic government contractors who have billions of covert contracts, excuse me, that are all tied into this system of secrecy. All the COs, all the secretaries, all the logistics people sign secrecy agreements, so they're bound by an oath not to talk about anything, even if it's illegal, that they see in context of the program. And of course, these corporate and central banking tentacles go to the mainstream media and affect the board of directors. So we've got this is the shadow government that I describe. And just to break it down, if I may, there are, since 9/11 that we know of, 10,000 secret sites within the United States, not outside the U.S. Within the U.S., there's 10,000 secret government sites. Not even Congress knows about all of them. There's 1,271 major, we call them beltway bandits, major contractors working for secret government programs. There is 4.8 million Americans that we know of that hold government security clearances. About 900,000 hold top secret clearances. The congressional military industrial complex, there are hundreds of thousands of employees that have been given security clearances of basically commanded to sign what's called the secrecy agreement, which gives away their right to trial by court, their right to reveal any illegal operations. So the government has got its tentacles all through the United States and has hundreds of thousands of Americans bound by secrecy agreements operating in these secret programs, all tied into the billions of taxpayer dollars that go through the central banks, through the Federal Reserve, and tie into these covert programs, many of which the Congress doesn't even know about. So the shadow government is not one single group of men and women sitting in a smoke-filled room behind the White House or the Capitol building. It's much more massive and complex than that, and essentially we've allowed a monster to be created.
So does that suggest that there must be some centralized control?
Well, the centralized control still rests with the CIA. The CIA, despite the creation of the Director of National Intelligence after the CIA's last scandal, the CIA is the hub of the wheel, and the difference with the CIA is, in the National Security Act of 1947, that laid out the CIA's authority in collecting intelligence. Nowhere in the National Security Act of 1947 is an authorization for the CIA to engage in covert operations, especially without the knowledge of Congress. If I may, let me read the wording to you, and we'll see how far out of the Constitution the CIA has gotten. The National Security Act of 1947 says the CIA can, quote, perform such other functions and duties related to intelligence affecting the national security as the National Security Council may from time to time direct. That says nothing about the CIA being able to conduct unilaterally its own covert operations, nothing about that at all, especially within the United States. But that broad wording was taken to create this monolith of CIA operations using billions of taxpayer funds and money in budgets that are secret so that no one can see them. And that all came out of that little clause, which really does not give the CIA constitutional authority to do these things.
Oh, boy. So who do we see about that?
Well, I got to tell you, I have to be honest with you. We've created this monster. It is self-sustaining, and, of course, it will eliminate any dissension against it. It comes back, and we're seeing bizarre things happening after the recent election with the current president and the intelligence community. It all comes back to we the people. The reason that I kind of came out again is to just encourage credible news outlets like yours to keep what you're doing, because our national media is gone. It is state-run. It is state-controlled. I think everyone knows that, and it's obvious. It's now up to the alternative, credible news programs like yours and others to get this message out to people and for people to start becoming aware of this and rising up and standing against it and making it public. The first thing that has to be done is this shadow government, some people call it the deep state, has got to be revealed to public so everyone sees it. That's the first step.
What do you make of all of this stuff with 50 GOP officials warn Donald Trump would push national security at risk, Iran, the CIA, now I'm endorsing Hillary Clinton, former CIA chief, I think it must have been Morrell. Putin recruited Trump as an unwitting agent of Russia. I mean, what is all of this?
Well, in my 20 years with government, I've never seen anything like this. We know that the CIA released some false documents on President Trump intentionally. John Brennan avoided the question, would not state that it did not come from him personally. We've seen top secret conversations leaked from the White House several times, the most recent of which was Lieutenant General Flynn. We've seen Chuck Schumer came out in a bizarre statement when asked about Trump challenging the CIA intelligence community. Schumer said, well, he better be careful because the intelligence community has ways of getting back at you. You know, just sit and think about that a little bit. This is a constitutional government, and he's threatening a president-elect with retribution from the intelligence community. This is the shadow government that I'm talking about. This is the CIA and the covert operations that I'm talking about that are functioning outside the Constitution without the knowledge of Congress, and they have got this massive system of intimidation and threats where not even Congress has the fortitude to challenge them. So there is a war right now between the Trump administration and intelligence, specifically the CIA, which does not want Trump looking into their dirty laundry, which he has said that he will do.
And if someone did look into the dirty laundry, what do we think we might find about John Brennan? That person, you know, this is really maybe inappropriate, but just look, John Brennan looks crazy to me, and always did. And he's probably a really bright guy, and I'm pretty sure he couldn't have held that position as long as he did unless he was a bright guy. But he sure seems just a little bit unhinged. And now he's not director anymore, so what is a guy like, where does a guy like that go? There's a three-part question for you. Is he nuts? What's in his dirty laundry? And what's he doing now, I wonder?
Well, he's a pretty nefarious figure. He was the undersecretary for counterterrorism when Benghazi happened, and he was behind pulling the strings of Benghazi, which was a false flag event. The video was more of a cover-up of the fact that they were running guns that wound up at the hands of Al-Qaeda and all the way up into ISIS. That was the big oh-no moment, oops moment for the Obama administration. But so John Brennan eventually was selected specifically by Barack Obama to be the director of the CIA. John Brennan was the chief of station in Saudi Arabia about 20 years ago, where he converted to Islam and has been a Muslim ever since, a practicing Muslim. Hence, Barack Obama, who is, as we know, been promoting radical Islam around the globe, brings John Brennan in for that purpose, and then they continue training and supporting radical jihadist elements in Syria, and some of which have morphed into ISIS with U.S. tanks and weapons. So John Brennan is, in my opinion, is a very dark figure. If you just break that down for a moment, you have a man that was running the entire U.S. intelligence apparatus, the covert apparatus, whose worldview is that there should be an Islamic caliphate eventually globally. And this man is sitting in a constitutional American government as the director of the CIA. I mean, philosophically, you've got some dichotomy there. And then we know that he carried out Obama's Presidential Study Directive 11, which is still classified as the secret government would do. But basically, we know that that was a directive to start supporting the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood and installing them in the Libyan government and other things. So Brennan was behind all those things, and a very dark figure, in my opinion.
I understand that it wasn't just converting to Islam, it was Wahhabi Islam, about the harshest school of Islam out there.
That's right. That's correct. Yes.
You know, a long time ago, it's been probably 5 years now. It is 5 years. An ex-CIA officer, I'm not going to say he told me, that might not be good, but anyway, I got the idea that from speaking with him for about 2 hours over a lunch. He happened to be in this part of the world. And he said every level of the security service has been penetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood or somebody associated with Islam. He said they've got encrypted email accounts that you've never heard of before. They communicate with each other regularly. He said the entire apparatus has been penetrated. Do you find that to be a credible suggestion?
Yes, I do. We know that Barack Obama, and we have their names, he appointed five active members of the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood, and we have to remind people that's the oldest terrorist organization in the world. Barack Obama appointed five members of the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood to national security positions in the U.S. government. We know that there is at least 300 positions within the U.S. government that Obama appointed Islamic Muslim Brotherhood members to also. And then, of course, we have John Brennan connected with Wahhabism and the Muslim Brotherhood also, who's staffed positions within the intelligence community with, and we're talking the radical Islamic sector here, but he's appointed them all through the CIA too. So there are moles all through our government that are connected to the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood specifically. Barack Obama was a subversive. He was placed, and I don't say this lightly, I've given lectures on this. Barack Obama was a subversive placed intentionally in the United States government to upend our constitutional system and to plant Muslim operatives throughout our government, combined with Hillary Clinton, who joined with him in that effort, and it's all through the CIA. It's all, there's at least five members in the National Security Council. There are multiple members and positions in the Department of State that have been penetrated. So we have witnessed a kind of a silent subversive coup in our government. And Trump now, President Donald Trump, is facing that very deadly prospect.
Who is Barack Obama?
Well, Barack Obama, I wrote a 35-page paper on Barack Obama. Barack Obama was groomed, funded throughout his mysterious college education. We can't get the transcripts of that. He is linked and has been linked directly with George Soros, who's funded millions into his campaigns, essentially helped him get elected. We know that he is a Marxist progressive. We also know that he is connected directly to radical Islam, not just Islam, but radical Islam. We know that he's an enemy of Christianity by the multiple acts that he's committed while in office. He is, you know, the old story about a Manchurian candidate. He doesn't fit that profile exactly, but he does, from a counterintelligence perspective, he does fit the profile as of a subversive agent that's been planted in the United States government. I know that sounds bizarre. I am absolutely convinced it's true. I have a lecture on the subversion of America where I go in and I think document that pretty well, that that's indeed who Barack Obama was and is. And we know now that he is spearheading an effort to remove Donald Trump from the presidency. along with George Soros. That is sedition. That is a criminal act. But no one has reached that level of investigation yet. So he in my opinion, he was a subversive agent into the United States government. I think there's plenty of evidence for that.
You know, Kevin, I drew a distinction between Manchurian Candidate as someone who doesn't know he's going to do what he's going to do until he gets triggered to do it. However, that's different from a Trojan horse, and I believe that Barack Obama is a Trojan horse. And what makes it worse is that Barack was the name of Muhammad's horse.
Yeah, well, I can see the. I guess there may be a resemblance there. I don't know. I'm kidding, but
well, that's from the "You Can't Make This Stuff Up" department.
Bullseye. And no, I think you're absolutely right. I think he's well aware. There's no doubt he was well aware of what he was being groomed to do and where he was going. There's no doubt about that. He has a very unpleasant past, if you look into it. His connections are Marxist, without a doubt. His connections are into radical Islam, without a doubt. And people often ask now, come on, how can progressivism, which the stated goal of progressivism is to redefine the U.S. Constitution as an outdated document, change the First Amendment. They've come out and said that. Hillary Clinton believes that. How can progressivism, seeking to undermine the Constitution, how can it join with radical Islam, which kills homosexuals and mutilates women and all the other stuff that radical Islam do? How can they possibly operate together? If you look down through history, those two movements have been operating together for decades, going all the way back. Hitler had his own Islamic SS that he used. It is the old principle of common enemy, where both those groups want to eliminate the traditional foundation of America, break into the Constitution and change some of the amendments, and bring in this pseudo socialist communist, especially globalist government that they have made no secret about wanting to implement in our country. So those two are working together, and they have deeply subverted our government already, and that's something that's being addressed cataclysmically right now.
Isn't it interesting? Apparently the AP committed a major blunder today by suggesting that President Trump has called out the National Guard to begin throwing Mexicans and other illegal aliens out of the country, which of course is total nonsense. That didn't happen at all. I wonder how bought and paid for. This is kind of let's hit second gear. We got a six speed here. Let's hit second gear. The mainstream media. Somebody said, I can't remember which director it was, said that we own every significant figure in mainstream media. Use the word own, and then you got this little guy Anderson Cooper, who apparently was with CIA for a little while, or maybe signed up. I don't know if he ever became an officer or not, but that's the word out there. I can't confirm it, but what's the connection between CIA and the media?
Well, and this is, knowing the system, this is just my opinion. I think Anderson Cooper was a temporary low-level employee. A lot of college interns do that. It's a program for that. Based on what I've read and seen, I personally don't think he was an operative. That's just my opinion. I don't see the cues there for that. So I think he was in a summer program, intern kind of thing. And I haven't seen otherwise. So that's just my take on that.
Good.
The mainstream media, we all know. We've all seen it. They have failed to cover very important events. They have altered news events. We've seen that CNN has had crisis actors where they plant interviewees, I think, in three different crises, the Boston bombing being one. You see the same CNN planted witness in three different, at least three different unrelated crisis scenarios. CNN has been lying and twisting the news for years. Forgive me, it's just so. And most of the mainstream media will not report on the things that we're talking about, which are critical to our democracy. And the question that you're asking is why are they doing that? How are they doing that, or who has control? This all ties back, remember, into the central banking system, into the CFR created global massive global financial network that is connected to and runs the five conglomerates that operate the mainstream media. Those conglomerates, the money and the mandates roll down from the top to the board of directors. There are certain things you will not report on. That rolls down to the editors. There are certain things you will not report on. That rolls down to the journalists. There are certain things you will not report on or your career is over. It is a standing understanding within the mainstream media that reporters don't touch certain things, and that goes all the way up into their board of directors, into these major corporations that own them, into the globalists that own these major corporations. All of this tied into the Council of Foreign Relations going way, way back. This is not a new thing in the media. And I'll remind you, if you remember, the CIA coming out of Alan Dulles and the CFR had what was called Operation Mockingbird. I'm sure you remember that.
Yes.
That was a paid CIA operation to plant journalists in the U.S. news media. Now, let's remember that the CIA was forbidden in its charter from having any operations within the United States. Well, they violated that routinely. Operation Mockingbird seeded journalists into the U.S. national press and paid them to write propaganda stories in favor of the CIA and CIA operations. Now, people will say, well, yeah, that was long ago and that's been done away with. We have to remember that Operation Mockingbird was allegedly ceased by George W. Bush Sr. in 1976. But what people don't realize is the wording that Bush Sr. put in there was journalists will no longer be paid by the CIA to produce stories. The program is now voluntary. So Operation Mockingbird did not go away, as many people think. It's not an old CIA program that's been done away with. In the case, just a quick example, when I wrote From the Company of Shadows, and produced that book, it was a war between the CIA and I to get a lot of those things out. So when I first went public with my story under the threat of possible prison, thinking that going to this particular major news outlet would, I'd be going to Freedom of the Press and getting the story out there. To my shock, for 30 days I went back and forth with this national paper saying, where's the story? Well, we're working on it. Turns out, this paper went straight to the CIA, told them what I had reported them, told them what I had come out as a whistleblower, would be the term, and advised the CIA of everything I was doing. So there are reporters in major news networks. If I mentioned their name, you would know. One in particular, excuse me, will never, ever report. I've been watching for 12 years. Will never say anything negative about the CIA. Will never report on a scandal about the CIA, and there's been plenty of them. The CIA hacked into the Senate computers, which is a felony. But this particular major anchor man who has his own show will only report on favorable things for the CIA and will never and has never said anything negative about the agency. What does that tell me? That tells me that he's signed an agreement with them at some time in the past as part of their Connected Journalist program, and there are more out there like that. So the press is under all of those influences. It's under the massive elite banking system influence, the five conglomerate corporations that own it, and then also the intelligence community that is tied into these, into the central bankers and these corporations as well. So you got this massive system that's bearing down on our media, and our national media is gone. It is now state-run, and essentially that part of our Constitution and our democracy is over.
Oh, my God. How about CIA and the drug trade?
Well, I reluctantly endorsed a book called Operation Gladio by who is now a friend of mine, Paul Williams, which I recommend everybody should read.
I have that book.
Yeah, you've had him on?
Have not had him on yet.
Yeah, he'd be a good guest. He sent me the book and asked if I'd endorse it. Operation Gladio was a false flag event. It actually happened. It's true. There's plenty of documentation where the CIA took former German SS agents, protected their identities, sent them into specifically Italy, Sweden, and France to set up false terrorist organizations against what they perceived were socialist communist governments. And then the CIA staged false terrorist attacks. I think they killed 419 people trying to make it look like the Italian government did it. To fund that program, they connected with the mafia and ran drugs into the United States, into the inner city, into districts where there was a lot of jazz and heroin addiction. Took the millions of dollars, ran that through the Vatican Bank, which is a secret bank, and then funded these false flag terrorist cells in Italy, France, and other places. So we've seen what the CIA will do. We have seen how they'll do it. And Operation Gladio the secret alliance between the Mafia, the CIA, and the Vatican. I would recommend people read that. After I read the whole thing, there's 2,000 footnotes in there. I had to endorse it. Every time I endorse something as a CIA officer, I take a bit of personal risk. But after reading that book and looking at Paul's footnotes, I had to endorse it because that indeed is exactly what the CIA has done. And they've done other false flags, several of them, going all the way back to the Vietnam War. So the false flags with the CIA, it's a standard operating procedure.
You know, we spoke with a fellow named Jim Clemente. He was with Quantico for a long time, and actually the Mandy Patinkin character in Criminal Minds is Jim Clemente. And I was talking to him about FBI must be getting tired of cleaning up CIA messes. And he said, everything CIA does is illegal. You can't operate inside the country legally. And no country is going to say, yeah, sure, come on in, do your thing. He said, so everything they do is illegal. And he didn't actually say this, but he suggested that, yeah, they are kind of tired of cleaning up CIA messes. They do it all the time.
Yeah, well, when I was in counterintelligence, I was co-located with the FBI working some major cases that had come out. We were looking for moles, and eventually we did find one, and that's history now. And the FBI and the CIA are blood enemies, and they still are. And I worked directly with an FBI agent when I was fighting, when our house had been broken into and we were poisoned on this the secret base. The FBI agent told me, I think you're getting set up. This is after the expose of the vulnerability. And I'm telling you, I'm with the FBI on that one. It's a constant source of frustration. They know that the CIA breaks the law with impunity. And that's the problem, with impunity. And the worst part is not just outside the CIA. I went out and did operations. I know what we do. I abide by my oath. And there's things, of course, I'll keep with me until I leave this earth. But within the United States, and I'm sure the FBI is a lot of chagrin over this. Within the United States, the CIA is conducting operations. And that is absolutely serious. And they broke into our house, painted chemicals on the ceiling. The house was poisoned. Having been them, I trapped the house with recordings and tapes, and I caught them. But the fact that they would even be able to do that within the United States is a felony, multiple felonies. The fact that, and this is documented out there in the press, the CIA broke in to the Senate Select Committee's computer systems on Capitol Hill and accessed the CIA torture report. The CIA broke into Senate computers within the United States. That is multiple felonies under John Brennan. Did anyone go to prison for that? No. Was anybody indicted for that? No. Was Brennan fired for that or indicted himself? No. It just kind of drifted away. So I would have to agree with the FBI on that. And again, they're an illegal entity going all the way back to the National Security Act. So I would have to agree with the FBI on that. They break the law. That's what they do. That's their operational mandate or procedure. They call it plausible denial. That's who the CIA is. I was taught to lie. I was taught to do things like this. And eventually you realize that it gets to the point where this is just flat out unconstitutional. This has got to stop. So I think the FBI is, I'd have to agree with them on that one.
You know, this journalist, Glenn Greenwald, said today, I think it must be today, according to this article, the deep state, although there's no precise or scientific definition, generally refers to the agencies in Washington that are permanent power factions. They stay and exercise power even as presidents who are elected come and go, and they typically exercise their power in secret. Okay, so everybody knows this. The question is there any way to, if not stop it, slow it down? We see that that agreement regarding Syria, that kind of fell apart. So, I mean, this is amazing. Does somebody up there really want a war with Russia, and the military-industrial complex feels like, hey, we're going to cash in on this, we're going to make a lot of money? It's like, Vlad Putin is not some pushover. Vlad Putin will fight you. I mean, what?
Right.
Are they that crazy, Kevin?
Yes. Yes, they're that crazy. Obama was trying to push us into war when Vladimir Putin was saying, no, we don't want war. We don't want that. We want negotiations. Starting from John McCain was secretly in Ukraine helping to stir up the Ukrainian coup. Of course, he was also spotted smiling with a photograph with Al-Qaeda leaders. John McCain was over there actually stirring that up while Vladimir Putin was doing the Olympics, which had kind of a Christian theme to it, which was the anathema to the Obama administration. John McCain is in Ukraine stirring up the coup. Now, John McCain gets, my understanding is, over $40 million of contributions from the military-industrial complex and the arms industry. But we have to understand, I think it goes down to this. Vladimir Putin has come out publicly and said he will have nothing to do with Barack Obama's New World Order. Now, Barack Obama and Susan Rice came out publicly and they changed that term. They call it the, quote, international order, because everybody's kind of on to the New World Order thing. So they call it the international order. Vladimir Putin has come out and said he won't have any part of that. He is protecting Christian churches throughout Russia because they were being burned by radical Islamists. He has banned the Quran as a violent book. He, Vladimir Putin, and believe it or not, Bashar Assad, had Christian sectors within Syria that they were protecting from radical Islamists. What is not being reported in the news media, and I was there when the Soviet Union fell and the Duma began having Bible studies and things, and they converted their constitution to being based on Judeo-Christian principles like we did. What people don't realize is that 85% of the Russian people are Orthodox Christian. Vladimir Putin himself is an Orthodox Christian. He was and is protecting the Christian sectors in Syria. He supported a 105-foot statue of Jesus that they placed in Syria, which stands today. He is a nationalist that is protecting his people. He is not the former KGB ogre Stalinist figure that the Obama administration was trying to make him out to be. But see, that's what they do with a false flag. With a false flag, you have to label the enemy as radical communist, KGB agent, Stalin-like figure. Because when you do that, that would allow you to build up your military, to line up on the border, to threaten war, to rattle your sabers, to go in there on top of the only government that's standing before the New World Order. Right now, that's Russia. The only head of the government that won't cooperate, and that's Vladimir Putin. So you got to take him out. But first, you have to make him look like a villain. That is what they've been doing.
It just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just really special.
I realize that this is all over the place, but every time you say something, it leads me to another question. What do you think is behind this ridiculous influx of all these so-called refugees into Western Europe and into this country? I personally think it's to seed the entire Western world with potential jihadis, but maybe that's just simplistic.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's plenty of evidence to prove that. Much of this is funded by George Soros, who has, and you can find this, he's publicly stated that his goal is to eliminate the sovereign borders of the United States. Islam, down through history, as I mentioned, has always been used as a tool for destabilization. The globalists are using these Islamic refugees as a tool for destabilization of sovereign nations. However, from the Islamic perspective itself, in terms of Islam, the goal is global world conquest, period. A caliphate. That's what it teaches. That just is what it is. Now, I've worked with and defended Muslims out in the field in war zones, became very close with some of them. So I'm not indicting Muslims, but I'm talking about the radical Islamic effort to penetrate Western governments and infiltrate members of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, for example. There is absolutely no doubt that that is occurring. There's absolutely no doubt that Barack Obama was advocating and supporting that with his massive refugee program. And if you look at the pictures, these are not women and children coming in as refugees. These are young males between the ages of about 17 and 23. This is a global penetration in order to set up an Islamic caliphate, and it's being funded and tolerated by George Soros because he sees that as a useful tool for global destabilization.
Where's his paycheck in all of this? Where does Soros get paid if such a ridiculous agenda were to be fulfilled?
Well, he's obviously a multi-billionaire. He got a lot of his money from destabilizing the Taiwanese and the UK currency, almost drove them into collapse. That's where he made a lot of his millions. And there's a quote by him out there. You can find it. He says he fancies himself as a kind of god. So he sees himself as this kind of narcissistic, global, godlike figure who wants to make the world into the George Soros kind of world. So he's motivated by a kind of psychotic narcissism, and he's got plenty of money to back that up, going all the way back from his connections to Nazi Germany all the way up until his destabilization of the UK and Taiwanese currency, which almost destroyed their economies. That's where he's got plenty of funding But the man is a psychotic narcissist, and as we know, he funded millions to the Clinton campaign for the presidential election. He funded millions into the Barack Obama's campaign for presidential election. He operates and funds Media Matters and Media Matters America, which is now being accused of connection to this Pizzagate, which some of the media is poo-pooing. But George Soros runs and owns Media Matters, and what Media Matters does is fund and pay programs into the U.S. national news media to influence stories. So a lot of this stuff comes down from this psychotic despot who's got millions to throw around to make a George Soros kind of world.
What about Pizzagate anyway? I didn't let that wagon get hooked up to our ponies here, and I didn't hook our wagon up to those ponies because I thought it was just too. First of all, it's just a little difficult to get my mind around that altogether, although I'm sure that some of these perverse practices are commonplace. I mean, the vast amounts of money and influence make everything possible. I'm sure that's true. But what about Pizzagate? Do we think that there's anything there?
Well, you know, nobody wants to touch that subject because no one wants to be accused of spreading conspiracy information that's fallacious. Nobody wants to have their security at risk if this thing does exist. I try to take everything objectively as an analyst, and if you analyze everything regarding Pizzagate and just lay the facts out there, there's some bizarre things. Now, you always have to say no one's accusing anyone of a crime. No one's accusing anyone of any wrongdoing, but there are some pretty alarming things out there relating to, I think it's pretty clear there's an international child trafficking ring, a pedophilia ring. There is indications that is in and throughout the U.S. government. Regarding Pizzagate, it all started with WikiLeaks' release of John Podesta's emails, as you may know. And I have to say some very good internet investigators, civilian internet investigators did quite a remarkable job in gathering all this information. But if you look at Podesta's emails, you find little references in there that match the code words that the FBI has for pedophile rings. And I won't go into them because they're kind of disgusting. Then you go into the websites associated with Comet Pizza, which is connected to Podesta's emails. And Comet Pizza, these have all been scrubbed now, but some of these investigators still have the screenshots. Some of the people connected to Comet Pizza make references to having relations with young boys and small children, and there's bizarre art that shows children being raped in artistic pictures, and it goes into one of Podesta's emails, talked about Tony Podesta, asked him if John Podesta was going to attend a spirit cooking a party. And if you look at spirit cooking, that is an occult satanic practice. It's kind of disgusting, but you mix blood with some other bodily fluids and then you drink it to gain spiritual energy. You bake cakes that look like a corpse with blood and you eat part of the cake. I mean, that is out there. That is actually accurate. So these things are hanging out there factually for people to see. Now we know that George Soros gave at least 13,000 contribution to Comet Pizza. We know that the Comet Pizza owner is described as one of the most powerful person in Washington, D.C. This is the owner of a pizza restaurant. We now know, and this is documented, so I can say it, the owner of Comet Pizza is the former gay lover of the head of George Soros Media Matters America, David Brock. He's directly connected to George Soros, who's connected to Hillary, who's connected to Obama, and on and on and on this power connection goes. My understanding is there is a cataclysmic event going on in Washington regarding this whole thing, going back to Anthony Weiner's computer and what the NYPD found on that computer, which the chief of police said was so disgusting he couldn't talk about it. So there's an investigation going on related to a lot of this that could shake our government. As an analyst, that's basically the pieces I put together. And not to go any farther than until we see more evidence. But there are things there that you just have to consider are somewhat alarming.
It looks, walks, quacks, and swims a little bit too much like a duck for there to nothing to be there.
Yes.
For nothing to be there, sorry. Wow. There's just no limit to it, is there?
No, and I have to tell you, you research this all the way back to the global elite. The more I research on this, now I saw some of this internally from the perspective of the shadow secret government, but when you research this globally and all these connections, the darker and darker and darker it gets. Some of these elite bankers, some of the members of our government and secret societies are engaging in occult practices. In some cases, Luciferianism. It goes that deep. Now, Luciferianism, its tenet, of course, is child abuse and child sacrifice, going all the way back to mind control programs. And this is why they do it. If you can abuse, especially sexually abuse, a child between the ages of 1 and 6, you will pervert their personality, damage their personality for the rest of their life. It will be permanent. They will be gone, and they'll be, I guess, basically your slaves for the rest of their lives. That's the principle behind satanic pedophilia, child abuse. And there are rings going all the way to the UK government and into the United States that actually practice these things. As shocking as it is going on.
Oh boy, man, that opens up just a whole world of possibilities.
It does. I mean,
this is probably slightly less than discreet, but it's pretty well known that a lot of the people involved in child protective services are what we would formally refer to as deviants or perverts.
So,
you're going to run into a few dykes if you deal with CPS, for example, and they're rough too. And I'm just wondering, you know, my brain just starts doing that thing, and I'm looking at all these control functions, all these little F keys on the globalist keyboard. And so, if they control your money, and if they control your civilization, and if they control your religion, and then they get to your children. I mean, this really is megalomania. This is a very, very serious God complex, and it's not just a hat they put on every once in a while. This is who they are.
I couldn't agree with you more. We are under control already. You know, you can ask your average American. Their gut feeling is, you know, I'm not really free. We're supposed to be living in a free country, but I'm just scraping to survive, and it seems like everything from debt to credit cards to health insurance deductibles to on and on and on is pitted against the people to drive us all into debt and total subservience to the system. Well, that's intentional. We are living in basically on an electronic plantation. It's been described as an electronic concentration camp. There is no more privacy. Everything we do, say, type, talk about on our phone, text, send via the email is monitored by the government. Is stored in the Utah data center in Utah. There is no more privacy. We are watched every move that we make, and they'll tell you, well, the NSA program, domestic surveillance program, was done away with. Well, that's not true. They've reinstituted under the new cybersecurity laws, and all the data that the NSA collected on not terrorists, you and I, 1.5 billion bits a day for all those years is still stored in the NSA Utah data center. They didn't erase all the stuff they collected on us. It's still there. So we are controlled. Our survival financially is controlled by the central banks. You remember the Federal Reserve was created by the CFR. The Federal Reserve controls every financial aspect of our lives. The interest rate on our credit cards, our home loans, and all those things that could drive us into financial ruin with a stroke of a key. Publishing fake money, putting our economy at risk. So the Federal Reserve is controlling Americans 100%. Without a doubt, the Federal Reserve, connected to the CFR, connected to the CIA, connected to the NSA, are monitoring everything we do and say on our computers and our electronic devices. So, no, we're no longer free. No, we no longer live under a constitutional government. And, yes, we are controlled all the way down to the education of our children.
Inevitably, we'll have to cover this for a minute, and that is the Russian hacking in the election. What exactly got hacked?
Well, let me start by saying much of this is a ruse. The allegations are that the Russians hacked into the DNC computer systems. Now, they've morphed that into the Russians supporting Donald Trump to be elected. They morphed that into the Trump administration having regular contact with the Russians to help them in the elections, all of which is a lie. There was a hack into the DNC computers. That information was provided to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks dutifully released that to the public. WikiLeaks, Julian Assange himself, a former British ambassador himself has said, no, that information didn't come from a hack. It was personally provided to us, hand-delivered to us by a certain protected party. So even WikiLeaks says it wasn't a Russian hack. But the dark cabal that, in my view, is trying to bring down the Trump administration is using that to make it look like Hillary Clinton lost the election, not because of the millions of people that had enough and came out, but she lost the election because the Russians hacked into the DNC, provided that information, that hurt her, and Trump used that to win. That is all bogus. It's a grand propaganda campaign. It's really an intelligence operations program, essentially. So do the Russians hack into computer systems? I put this on my Facebook page all the time when these, especially MSN articles come out. You have to read, when they put out a front page story, they know that most people are just going to look at the picture and read maybe the first two paragraphs. So they always bury the caveat, they've been doing this for 20 years, they always bury the caveat down about five or six paragraphs into the piece where it says, but there is no evidence that the Russians assisted the election, or there's no evidence that the Trump administration has been colluding with the Russian government, or there's no evidence specifically that it was the Russians that hacked into the DNC, because the IP addresses to those hacks, if Russia was to do it, you wouldn't know it was Russia because they would disguise their IP address. So there's no way anyone could know who hacked into the DNC when in reality it said it wasn't a hack. So the point I'm making here, John, is that most of this is just a grand deception.
You know, people do stupid things when they panic. I'm getting the sense that the intelligence community and a lot of other people that that they're buddy-buddy with are panicking right now. I mean, yeah. Who is this guy, John Schindler, who puts out, now we go nuclear, war is going to new levels? Just got an email from senior intelligence community friend who began with, he will die in jail. I mean, this is lunacy.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they need to investigate who John Schindler is. You know, it's really easy to come out and make a statement like that without any backup of who this person is, what their connections are. So, you know, that's as chilling as the Chuck Schumer comment, which we should take seriously, that the intelligence will get you if you try to challenge them. That's kind of what this fella is saying. I hope that the Jeff Sessions FBI, and I'm sure they are investigating this person. I hope they're investigating the leaker of the Lieutenant General Flynn, top secret phone call. This Schindler person, we need to see who this person is. They need to investigate who this person is. And when you get down to it, John, and boil it down, this is a direct threat to a sitting president of the United States. That is a felony. It is a crime. They should be investigating this guy. The Secret Service should be at his doorstep with a pair of handcuffs. So that little blurb comes out, and there's a firestorm, but there's no additional information on this guy.
No information on him. So we don't even really know who he is.
No, we don't. At least not yet. No, we don't.
But they go ahead and put it in the press.
Exactly. Bullseye.
Wow. Is this amazing or what? Did you ever think that you would live to see the day when this would happen? Or is the answer to that one, well, yeah, I did see it coming a long time ago.
Well, I tell you, I have to humbly admit, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, I thought it was all over. I know about her connections all the way into the intelligence community, and they're bad. They're dark. I also know of some of the global networks and connections to the Clinton campaign, and they're dark. So I thought it was over. I thought she was going to get elected. I thought our government was now completely gone, and the rest of us were going to be serfs to this grand regime. When Trump was elected, I have to say I was pleasantly surprised that the boat could be rocked that badly. So It was encouraging. However, what I predicted humbly a while ago, that this secret government, this shadow government, this deep state, whatever you want to call it, my wife and I talked about this before the election, they are not going to allow Donald Trump to investigate what they have been doing. And these bizarre attacks against Donald Trump going all the way back to CNN, right before the inauguration comes out with a air of a news program that the title was, something to the effect of, what would happen if Donald Trump was assassinated? And they go on to say, if Donald Trump was assassinated, he would be immediately replaced by the next ranking member of the Obama administration. Now, why would CNN put out an article, a report, on what would happen if Donald Trump was assassinated? I think it was the day of the inauguration. So it started with that. Then it went into Schumer, Chuck Schumer, threatening Trump with ramifications, repercussions by the intelligence community. Then it went into the CIA leaking this false report about Trump and prostitutes in Russia. John Brennan leaked that himself. And when he was challenged, he would not say he didn't do it. And it was obvious he was lying. Then it goes on to the Schindler releasing this statement. And it goes on and on and on.
Let me ask you this. A lot of people say that that presidents are selected, not elected. If you agree with that, then can we get an idea how far back prior to the election is the selection made?
Well, we remember that, as we all know, there's not a two-party system in this country anymore. It's a duopoly. The Republican and Democratic parties are one and the same. If you don't look at their rhetoric, if you look what they do when they're in office, they join together to stop some pretty important legislation that tries to go through. But the election of the president goes all the way back, once again, to the Federal Reserve, the Council of Foreign Relations, the global bankers. They pump their money and put all their money behind the candidate of choice, whether it be Republican or Democrat. So that's why we don't see your average, maybe outside of Donald Trump, you don't see your average Joe who wants to run for office and has impressive credentials. They never even get close. Ron Paul got pretty close, but of course they accepted him out. So these candidates are chosen by the global bankers and the financial elites, and in many cases the intelligence community, the shadow government, well in advance, by picking them, funding their campaigns. The RNC and the DNC both do that. It's not a matter of the candidate that is appealing to the American people. They picked a candidate that will march to their tune well before, even before the primaries, that candidate is selected. And you can watch that happen as they sift through the who's going to run process and eliminate any voices that kind of oppose the kind of the global side of things. So these candidates, and I think there's plenty of information out there revealing this, these candidates are picked well before the primaries. The two-party system is a sham.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. I mean, I was just going through this thing yesterday about, of course, I find Ann Coulter to be a little bit, she's a little on the aggressive side, and sometimes she says things that I wish she wouldn't say. But she did make a very, very keen observation that's pretty clear to most of us anyway. But now that you mention it, Ann, these six bills that were ready to go against Barack Obama's Obamacare while he's still in office. Now, since Mr. Trump has taken over, nothing has happened. Not a thing.
That's right. Yeah. And you have to ask yourself why. You have to ask yourself why the backbone of the GOP is resisting the Republican president's directives. And, of course, you've got John McCain and Lindsey Graham. What those two characters have in the closet, I'll never know. But they have been resisting Trump even before he got elected. Usually, maybe they have some skeletons in their closet. I know there's a big blackmail ring in Washington, but there's some things there, some issues. But this GOP is Americans should be angry, and should have been angry at the rhinos or the neocons in the GOP for some time, because they say they're going to do something and then they just don't do it. And Obamacare is a prime example. So much so, in their Obamacare meeting, I think day before yesterday, Rand Paul, whom I have a lot of respect, got up and walked out, because it was obvious to him that they had no intention of repealing Obamacare and no intention of putting a proper replacement in place. And so far, it's a game.
Well, it seems to me that to repeal Obamacare, all they'd have to do is just say, look, this is what we're going to do. We've got a huge bunch of money, and we won't spend much time on this, Kevin, but because we got other stuff that we can get to that'll be more interesting probably. But doesn't it make sense that if they got all these billions of dollars to throw around, to say, okay, we've got $100 billion right now that we've allocated for people who have pre-existing conditions, and they're going to go through a government fund. It's going to be the same thing as going to the county hospital when you ain't got no money. And that's what's going to happen. In 72 hours, or say 96 hours, or say 1 week, just say, or over the course of the next month, you contact your prior insurance provider, and you set yourself up the plan that you had before. You contact the doctor that you used to like and tell him, listen, we're back on, I'm getting new insurance, and that's it. And, I mean, how hard can this be? They make it sound like it's building a bleeping pyramid, and it's not.
That's right. I mean, they can engage in all these covert operations, put these complex things together. They claim they can't put together a health insurance proposal, and yet they can do this sophisticated, hugely logistical operation in Syria. You know, it doesn't add up. The GOP, as I mentioned, is part of this cabal. There is a mafia-like system set up in the GOP where certain things are only done for cash. Certain legislation is created to extort money out of corporations, tax breaks, and if the corporation doesn't contribute to the GOP, those tax breaks are yanked, and that legislation is tabled. It is a corrupt mafia-like system based on PACs, super PACs, lobbyists, and all of that. So when they talk about these things and repealing things, you got to understand it's within the system of a mafia-like structure, which if it was on the outside, these people would be being hit with RICO statutes. But that's how corrupt Congress has become. So that's a big part of it.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm jumping around here like crazy, but it's just I'm just on fire. My mind is on fire. George H.W. Bush, the guy who claimed he couldn't remember where he was when John Kennedy was shot, but then, I remembered. I suspect this guy was CIA from the time of its inception when Truman reluctantly signed it into being. And then he winds up CIA director for 1 year. This makes no sense to me.
Well, and I can tell you I'll tell you based on outside information. George H.W. Bush and his intelligence connections and his connections outside of intelligence with the central banks go all the way back. There is so much concerning information about not just George Bush Sr., but George Bush Jr. I think George Bush Sr. is directly involved in the shadow government and what we're seeing. And that's not just an off-the-wall comment. There is a lot of indication out there. One simple example is when 9/11 occurred, no one knew that leading up to 9/11, the Bush family, Bush Sr. and Jr., were engaged in for 20 years before 9/11 with a multi-million dollar contract with the Bin Laden family and including Osama Bin Laden himself. 9/11 happens. Underneath a national travel ban, George W. Bush secretly flies out the Bin Laden family out of the United States the next day, and on and on and on those strange connections go. George W. Bush blacks out 28 pages in the not-so-well-done 9/11 report, which is full of holes, but that's another story. George W. Bush, as president, commands that 28 pages of the 9/11 report be blacked out. Well, it turns out that it's relatively solid that those 28 pages regarding 9/11 reveal Saudi Arabia's intelligence connection to the actual attacks and the attackers themselves, the Saudi connection, not just to that, but there's a Saudi connection to the Bush family and an economic, talk about a conflict of interest with the Bin Laden family and the Bushes going back 20 years before 9/11. So hence, maybe the motive for the crime of blacking out those 28 pages. And we could do a whole nother show on 9/11 and just the problems. If you look at it from a criminal investigation, the problems there. But the entire Bush family goes back decades with some very, I think, dark activity.
Where was John Brennan, I wonder, on 9/11, 2001?
I'd like to know that. I sure would. I taught a class at a university, and we did, you erase the terrorists, and we can get off on this maybe later. You erase the, it was a terrorist attack narrative, which was immediately put out there. What that did was shut down any investigation of the event whatsoever. You erase that, and you look at 9/11 with what evidence hasn't been destroyed. You look at 9/11 from the perspective of a criminal investigation, and there is criminal activity all over the evidence left over in 9/11 from nanothermite traces on some of the metal to the fact that they ordered all of the steel, which was the prime evidence, removed from the crime scene the next day and sent to China. The fact that several floors of steel girders literally turned into dust and fell to the ground. There was no rumble after the time. I mean, on and on we go. So there is something extremely strange there. But the point is that the Bushes were connected up to the Saudis and the Saudi intelligence and even the Bin Laden family. And if you want to go out on Google Images and Google, you'll see pictures of George W. Bush kissing the Saudi prince on the lips and holding the hands of the king as they're walking down the road, and just, you know, pictures that are like, goodness gracious, get a room or something. You know, it's just obvious that the relationship there was really beyond tight. If you want to talk about a conflict of interest, goodness gracious, there's a huge one.
Kissing him on the lips.
Yeah, you go out there and Google it. You see W kissing the Saudi prince on the lips. Yeah, just check it out.
Wow. Well, you know, you never can tell what a man's proclivities are going to be, especially when he gets up there to the upper levels of government. Wow. That's stunning. Nauseating, but stunning. Say, speaking of false flags and so forth, well, a lot of people, the moment that I saw those buildings come down, I mean, I'm not going to go into any detail here, and none of it can be proved, and most of the people involved have died early. I don't know why. I think it's probably too many trips to Jack in the Box and Taco Bell that caused it. But we used to blow stuff up all the time. I mean, I was in the Army ROTC program in high school, and I was while I was excited to be a part of it, there was a small part of me that was appalled at what 15 and 16-year-old boys were being taught, you know, how to garrote people with piano wire, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Teach us improvised explosive device construction, all kinds of stuff. So we said, hey, what the hell, let's go out there and play with some of this stuff. So we did. And we didn't let off anything really big, certainly not enough to take down a gigantic skyscraper. But the moment that I saw those towers come down, nobody is going to tell me that wasn't controlled demolition. Nobody is going to tell me that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. All the structural engineers that I've talked to have said that was a controlled demolition. There are 2,500 architects and structural engineers, and these are called Architects and Engineers for Truth. I recommend people go out and check out their findings.
Yeah, we talk to Richard Gage sometimes.
I'm sorry?
We talk to Richard Gage sometimes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
A beautiful source, and I'd encourage everybody to check that out. Every single one of them, number one, that structure was designed to take an aircraft impact. It was designed not to pancake like the fake popular mechanics study tried to say that O'Reilly quoted when he was poo-pooing any scrutiny of 9/11. Every structural engineer that has looked at that knows of a certainty it's a controlled demolition. Then you set the World Trade Center towers aside, which came down in their footprint in pure dust with no rubble. There was almost no seismic activity. So let's set that aside for a moment. Then, as you know, look at Tower 7. Tower 7, without a doubt, was a controlled demolition. It was not hit by a plane. That building came down in classical controlled demolition fashion. And for somebody to deny that, they've either got to be foolish, afraid of what the truth really is, or part of this narrative that it's just a conspiracy theory to oppose the so-called 9/11 report. From the perspective of a criminal investigation, there's no doubt in my mind that that was a criminal act.
Yeah, and then, I was a little worried about when Mr. Trump started saying, yeah, the CIA, these are the same people who told us Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. And I thought to myself, don't start a brawl with CIA until you get in there and get yourself some people you can actually trust. And finding some people you're going to trust is going to be a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Having been in there, having been in the belly of the beast and up even on the seventh floor, I think President Trump is in danger. To go in there and try to change the minds of people that have been involved in illegal operations, some resulting in the death of tens of thousands of people. 470,000 civilians have died in Syria as a result of our government's attempt to destabilize it. So you've got these high-level officers in the CIA connected to these things that know the torture program was more than just waterboarding and have done a whole bunch of other things. And a president is coming in to scrutinize that. Do you think they're going to sit back and not try to take that president out? That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the CIA literally try to remove a sitting president. They already got to his senior national security advisor and took out Mike Flynn by leaking a top secret phone call in which there was no criminal activity, which the FBI has come out and said. You can take this all the way back to JFK. I hope Trump understands the monster that he's up against. I just hope he does, because within the CIA, it's dark and it's extensive, and it goes to high levels.
Yeah. Kevin, you know, I know I'm in the South. I know down here in the South, we actually were in the Southwest, but as far as the liberal progressive is concerned, then, you know, well, he's a Southerner, so he clings to his gun and his Bible, to which I respond, you bet I do, both of
them. What's wrong with it?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I really get the sense, this is sort of a two-part deal. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't ever want to be labeled a conspiracy theorist. However, I am into lie detection, and I am interested in actual conspiracies, particularly when they become known. Because, well, obviously, until they become known, there is no conspiracy that you're aware of. That's like there's no reality outside of consciousness. But how real is the permeation of this occult devil worship, Luciferian, eating children, drinking bodily fluids that we know what they are, and their spirit cooking? I mean, is this widespread with these people? Because it seems like it, even if it isn't.
That's yes. Just to answer your question, that's quite shocking. I mean, I'll measure my words here. Going all the way back to Aleister Crowley, some of the satanic occult activity that the elite bankers were involved in there. There is a former army general connected to the NSA by the name of Michael Aquino. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was a practicing Satanist within the U.S. Army. He wrote a paper called From Psyops to Mind War, essentially how to control the minds of not just the enemy but the American people. He co-authored that paper with a person I'm not going to go into right now. He's still out there writing Temple of Set Satanic Bible books. I think he's got four out now. He was accused of being part of this pedophilia ring way back then. There were 50 children that came out and personally identified him as part of this ring. Now, Kino is still out there. Jimmy Savile over in the UK, there's a pedophilia ring in the UK. I am convinced, as well as many others are, if you look at Denny Hastert and others within the Congress, that ring extends itself into the Congress and the Senate itself. I think some of that may be coming out soon. It all leads back to occultism and Luciferianism, because pedophilia is at the center of worshiping Satan or Lucifer. To spirit cooking is taking the soul of a child through child rape to gain satanic energy for yourself. And these people they really believe this stuff, and that's what spirit cooking is all about. That is in John Podesta's email. Pictures of this woman doing spirit cooking, this occult Luciferian lady, are out there where people can see them. Excuse me, John Podesta, Tony Podesta, this lady and others are connected to the highest levels of our government, including Hillary Clinton, George Soros, and several other ranking people in our government that have had interactions with this lady to these spirit cooking parties and all of this. It is satanic in nature, which it centers around child abuse, and I explain why they do that. It is extensive. It goes all the way back to the Vatican. They just arrested 10,000 Catholic priests in Australia for pedophilia, and we think that the government is starting to move secretly on this. They just arrested 750 men and women involved in pedophilia in California, arrested them, busted up their pedophilia ring. They arrested another big ring. I think it was 400 or some people in Philadelphia. This is all within the last 30 days. So this ring is extensive. It is.
New message is received from.
Forgive me. This destroyed because our net went down. So I'm having a multitask here. Sorry about that.
It's all right. Do what you got to do. It's all right.
Thanks. It's documented that this ring is extensive throughout the UK government without question. The documents are now coming out that it is also extensive within the United States government. Our concern, and I think it is probably the case, there are congressmen and senators like Dennis Hastert who are being blackmailed because they have been involved in some of this, and that's how they do it. They get the person into some of these spirit cooking events or some of these other pedophilia related events. Once they're in and have seen it with these other powerful people that are responsible for their election positions, they don't say anything. And the next thing they get is, if you do say anything, we'll reveal your connection to this and you'll go down. So, there is, I think, a huge blackmail ring in the United States government related to this. And there is bits and pieces of pretty significant evidence out there that indicate that that's the case. Many of us are waiting, hoping, and praying that Jeff Sessions, we know an investigation is going on, going back to Anthony Weiner's computer and some of the child molestation on there. I think there were 600,000 emails on that laptop. There is an investigation that the NYPD has done, said that this stuff exists. It's so disgusting. They were going to release it to the American people. The Department of Justice under Lynch threatened them and ordered them not to do it. Now that Sessions is the Attorney General, we're hoping that he will allow the NYPD to join with the FBI and finish its investigation of this child molestation pedophilia ring in Washington. That's where we are right now. It's all hovering under the surface. I talk with several people about this regularly. We are waiting and hoping that the arrests begin. I have been told that some of the people involved in this are at such a level that it could cause a constitutional crisis if arrest warrants are issued and they are removed from high-level positions. And so this thing is just kind of hovering under the surface here, and many of us are just waiting to see what Sessions is going to do.
You know, I don't know how you're going to react to this one, Kevin, but if I'm going to be honest here, I can either be discreet or I can be honest. I think the reason Donald Trump was elected president is because enough people prayed to God Almighty to deliver us from that bitch Hillary Clinton. Sorry, did I just say that out loud? She is a corrupt bag of pus. Everybody knows this. And I honestly think that prayer is what did this. I really do, because, look, there can't be one without the other, right? So if these people protect themselves and they cover themselves with their occult satanic practices, well, why would you have a devil if you didn't have a God? I mean,
that's right. I agree with you, yes.
Well, sorry, I really wasn't going to take it there but I'm telling you, I really believe that we don't fight against flesh and blood at all. I think it's exactly what's written in Scripture. We deal with stuff that is unseen, principalities and all this. Why would somebody write something like that however many thousands of years ago if there wasn't something to it?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, John, and I don't say this on many interviews. I came out against the CIA because there's a Scripture in Ephesians that says it's a shame to even speak of the things that are done by them in secret. But the things that are done in secret are made manifest by the light and by being revealed by the light and exhortation. That is the reason I wrote From the Company of Shadows. And also, I think most people sense this even. There are different aspects of what we're seeing here. One is the global political aspect, the New World Order. The second is the physical aspect of the corruption that we're seeing in Washington and beyond. And the third is a spiritual aspect. What did the Apostle Paul write? We don't fight against a war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. I think you nailed it. I think we're up against an unbelievable dark cloud of darkness and evil that hangs over Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton, in my view, is one of the most wicked women who's walked on this earth. And that goes all the way back to her past and the antithesis of everything Christian. Why would the Obama administration, why would Hillary Clinton go so adamantly against Christian groups, both through the IRS? Why would they ignore the Holocaust that's going on in the Middle East when over 100,000 Christians have been burned, beheaded, and little children have been raped? Ignored that. The State Department has ignored the human rights position that was created to defend that. Why would Obama refuse to attend all the Christian holidays at the White House but attend all the Muslim holidays? Why would Hillary Clinton push for abortion up to the ninth month of pregnancy just before birth? These powers of darkness, and I'm kind of glad you went this way because I don't get much chance to talk about this. I saw some of this in the CIA, of course. This is a war against the powers of darkness that were just about to take over this country. They were real close to it. And the deviancy, sexual deviancy and immorality and things that I know have occurred in the White House and in government would turn most people's stomachs. So I couldn't agree with you more. Donald Trump's election was a miracle. Well, Donald Trump did this, Donald Trump did that. Well, in the Bible, I think Cyrus was this colorful king that God put in power regardless of his personal issues. I don't think this is about Donald Trump. I think you're right. And I know there were high levels of pastors, preachers, and church members at every level all over the world praying for this country in this election, because if Hillary Clinton would have been elected, not only would we have lost our Constitution, spiritual darkness would have taken over this country to a shocking degree.
Well, there it is then. You know, it's, I think we're already in a constitutional crisis right now. I would like nothing better than to see, I don't know how he would do it. And I'm sure that the left would go insane. Oh, he's got his Schutzstaffel out there. Oh, God, it's the Gestapo. They'd say everything in the world. That because they're going to say so no matter what you say, no matter what evidence you present, they're going to twist it to fit their delusional framework. It's just how it is. But I would love to see mass arrests. And frankly, those who are convicted of treason should suffer the penalty for those convicted of treason on public display and just say, you know, we haven't done a public execution in a long time, but we're going to do it now, right on the White House lawn. Now, that's probably really insane to some people, but wouldn't it send a message? This is what happens when you threaten the lives, let alone the property, let alone the progeny, let alone the future. This is what happens when you betray your people, when you betray this quality and level of trust, and you betray it, this is what happens.
You know, I think you're right. Hillary Clinton broke the law multiple times in very, very serious ways. We know, I'm convinced, as well as others and with some connections are as well, that there is a massive pedophilia ring that involves high-level leadership in the Congress and Senate and other sectors of the government. As dark and as wicked as you could possibly imagine, we know that Barack Obama committed treason by placing members of the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood in high-level national security positions with access to top-secret CIA information and the highest, most sensitive information of our government that, in my opinion, is now in the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. They just busted three IT technicians that were being used by all members of the Senate and Congressional Intelligence Committees that had access to all of their information. They were members of the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood. They've just been arrested. All of that top secret information has been given out to Islamic countries, and it was Barack Obama who put those people in position. These people, and let me just, Lord have mercy, let me just call for it. Please, Jeff Sessions, move fast and arrest these people. This is treason. Barack Obama has engaged in treason. He's engaging in sedition now. Hillary Clinton has engaged in multiple felonies in treason. We are convinced there's a pedophilia ring operating in Washington, D.C. Those warrants need to go out regardless of the person's position. Those warrants need to go out, and they need to go now before these people have a chance to flee, to cover themselves, or to counterattack Donald Trump and try to take him out, which is exactly what they're trying to do right now.
This is amazing. I wish I could talk to you all day. I really do. This is just amazing. Let me ask you something. This is out of left field. You know, when I was a kid, my dad was, I've said this before in the program, so if, you know, one indiscretion leads to another, I suppose. But my dad was, he was fast-tracked through submarine school. He was a Pearl Harbor veteran. He was on the USS Maryland, a battleship that was actually a part of it, certainly not all of it. My grandfather, after whom I am named, actually helped build that ship. And then his son winds up getting attacked on it. And I remember as a little kid, I mean, I wasn't as old as even six. We were in towns frequently like Silver Spring, Maryland, College Park, Maryland. We were in Virginia a lot. We took a trip to Washington, D.C. I don't remember a thing about it. I just remember I stayed in the car, and that was it. And I got a few pictures with my little Polaroid Instamatic. That was later on when I was early teens. And my dad said something really strange one time. Caravanners, bear with me because Mr. Schiff hadn't heard this one. But I said, Grandfather, his father, predicted the war with Japan years before it happened. What do you predict? And he got this strange little smile on his face. He said, the thing about the next one is you won't know who you're fighting. And after that, he really kind of became... He turned into sort of a Henry David Thoreau. He just kind of said to hell with all of it. He was so disillusioned by what was happening in the country that he never spoke of it. And Dad was one of these guys that if he didn't want to say something, he wouldn't. You talk about somebody that could keep a secret. He was 175 pounds his whole life and tough as a railroad spike. But to walk up and talk to him, you just go, this is an intelligent, articulate man. But, I mean, they don't make them any tougher than Dad. I mean, as far as being able to withstand whatever. And the day that President Kennedy was assassinated, Dad was real quiet. He was upset for about 30 seconds and then just kind of shook it off. And I always got the feeling that there were some real stories to be heard that never would be.
I think there are, yeah.
I mean, so which leads me to this. We know what goes on in College Park and Silver Spring. What about Newtown, Connecticut? Some people have said that that's a... People have speculated that that whole Sandy Hook shooting looks like a total fabrication and nonsense. The first selectman up there even said, when she was asked by Wolfgang Halbig's lawyer, you know, who put that sign out there? She answered, the Department of Homeland Security. And everybody in the room just gasped. We recorded it our own video cameras. But people have said, well, it's like a witness protection town. Some people have said it's a CIA town. Is there anything creepy about Newtown, or if you knew, could you say?
Well, you know, the CIA is like, the way I like to try to put it is, the CIA is like a large kind of dark castle. And inside that castle, there's dark rooms. You can only have access to one dark room if you signed a blood oath to get in that room. And there are inner rooms within the castle that the people in that room don't know about. You have to sign an additional blood oath to get into those rooms. And the higher you go up until you see the really, really horrible things that happened at the top of the castle. That's the way the CIA is compartmented. So I never saw anything like that operation within the agency. Let me just caveat that there. Sandy Hook, from an analytical perspective, this is the way I approach so-called conspiracy theories. Let us remember that evolution is still a theory. It's still taught as a theory, despite, you know, it's taught as fact. And there's a lot of scientific, my background's in biology, and there's a lot of holes in the theory, but evolution is a theory. It's a model presented to try to explain how things came into existence. So a conspiracy theory, a legitimate one, is something that has a lot of very strange facts that need to be investigated and proved it is either true or it's not. So there's nothing wrong with a conspiracy theory. As a matter of fact, that label was invented by the CIA to cover up some of the things it was doing. Oh, just tell them it's a conspiracy theory. So when someone calls something a conspiracy theory, I think that's a reason to investigate it further. With Sandy Hook, and I'm no expert on Sandy Hook, but just based on the things I read, there needs to be more of an investigation on that. There are strange things that happened there. Photographs of a young girl who showed up there and has been seen at other scenes and on it goes. And the question would arise, and this is kind of, I guess, maybe where my humble expertise comes in. My graduate degree is in forensic psychophysiology, which is a big word for detecting deception.
Wow.
And what the government will do is when they offer a multi-billion dollar contract or what have you to any group, they will mandate that they sign a CIA secrecy agreement, which binds them for life. They don't know this, but it eliminates their right to a jury trial. It eliminates most of their constitutional rights. And if they violate or reveal any classified information, even if it's illegal, they will go to prison. So if there's any sort of operation involving domestic citizens, they will be papered and threatened like that. And that would explain why no one is talking. So in terms of Sandy Hook, I'm no expert on that, but based on what I've seen, people need to stay on that like a coat of paint, keep documenting these facts, put them together in an objective analysis, and then using those facts, come to a conclusion with what that is. I think a lot of people have pretty much done that. There's something strange there.
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate this conversation. I mean, what a complete delight. I have one more question for you, and then because I know you probably got to eventually go do your thing. Well, Barack Obama is 2 miles from the White House. He has 30,000 activists through this Organizing for America. He has a little upturned chin, which is identical to every little upturned chin I've ever seen on any communist propaganda poster.
Yeah.
He is a freedom fighter, which is what every murdering dictator calls himself. He's got CIA, and CIA's got him. We know about Frank Marshall Davis. We know that he was a hardcore communist, probably a Soviet agent, and probably a double agent, maybe even a triple agent.
Yes.
Go on.
Right.
Sorry?
He knows all that. You're right.
Okay. This is just surmise. I could have been a good analyst, but the dough wasn't there, so I decided to do something else. But here's the thing. Do we have the perfect storm forming for a coup? And do we have enough liberal, progressive, willing idiots, as Joseph Stalin called Americans, who supported and espoused the virtues of communism here in this country? He wasn't referring to his own people. He was referring to us with that useful idiots tag, the left progressives. Do we think that are the makings here for a real no-kidding coup / revolution, color revolution?
Yes, I think so. I think the coup started with Barack Obama's subversion of the U.S. government and its global connections. Once he was thrown out, it would be foolish for us to think that that coup was not going to continue. It's changed forms into a destabilization of American civilization and the government. Yes, there's a coup going on. Yes, Obama is behind it. Yes, they have every intention of destabilizing the U.S. and the civilians and also the U.S. government. There's absolutely no question about that. We are in a war, and you can see the connections of power that they have with these internal attacks on Donald Trump himself. So they have moles on the inside in the deepest parts of government that are joining with them. There is a coup being planned. Barack Obama is spearheading it up, and I would encourage every American out there, and to answer your second question, John, yes, the willing public who are fed by the media with a digital spoon, yes, they will go along with it because they believe the grand deception that they're being fed. So yes, they will. What I will say is this, and I'd encourage every American listening to this, get yourself ready to stand against that. I've heard it put this way, and my wife and I laugh about this. They don't know what they're going to get if they poke the bear, because there are millions and millions and millions of Americans out there that stood behind and elected Donald Trump. And if these characters think they're going to stage a coup against the United States government, I think they're going to be pretty starkly surprised when they see the response they get back. But you guaranteed they're trying. Barack Obama is an activist, a community organizer, meaning they go in and try to destabilize communities and local governments and eventually the White House. They have every intention of destabilizing our country, destabilizing our government, and taking Donald Trump out. Donald Trump right now is in significant danger. He's surrounded on every side. There's no question about his physical safety is in danger. I think he's probably well aware of that. They are trying to get rid of him. They just took out his national security advisor, the closest person to him, which is mind-boggling. So everyone out there needs to understand, this is a war. This is a counter-coup. Get ready as a citizen who loves this country to stand up and resist this, because that's what they're trying, and it is going to come.